I'm going to ask something different. I'd just like you to just listen to me. Just maybe close your eyes or just contemplate for a moment and listen to what I have to say. These are the words of the Lord. Luke 2. It's talking about Caesar Aquinas asking for the census to be done. And so Joseph went to Bethlehem because he was of the lineage of David. And in verse 8, and while they were there, in verse 7, she gave birth to Jesus. And let's pick up at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, and said, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace to men and those who God favors." Praise the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure and honor to be able to look out upon you this morning and see you out there and your happy faces, in your holiday spirit. And by way of disclaimer, we don't know what day exactly that Jesus was born, because it wasn't one of those things that God needed for us to know in order to have salvation. But we do know he was born. And since the whole world is thinking about it today, well, I know we all are too. This is the world we live in. And we can thank God that that great event did occur. One of the greatest days for the earth and for all mankind. In the scripture it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was." And again, you heard this last week. And the first few slides are the same as last week, because now we're going into the rest of the story. "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus.'" Now, the name Jesus is known all over the world. It's pronounced in various ways, translated in various ways, but it's actually more popular than Coca-Cola, you know. Unfortunately, he has a rival who has met him in this holiday season that I don't even want to talk about, and I hope I can expunge him from your mind on this day as we think about the birth of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Don't ever forget that, amen. "No good thing that is the will of God shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may be it done to me according to your word.'" She says, "Here I am, Lord. Use me to do this." and the angel departed from her. Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. This is the cousin who was 6 months pregnant, you know. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, who happens to be John the Immerser, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We see these fillings with the Holy Spirit at work in all of this, God at work in all of this. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Pregnant women have to have this radar screen in front of them, you know, because everybody wants to come up and touch the baby, right? Well, it's a little embarrassing because they're actually touching their belly, you know. But they want to see that baby's heel. They want to see that footprint. They want to see that hand. They want to see that baby move, and they want to feel it. They want to be a part of what's happening in that wonderful thing going on there. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." After John was born, we don't know, but Mary went back to Nazareth. It might have been a place like this. And then today, we've got all that to bring us up to today's lesson. We get to go into the second chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 3. "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city." So here we have a depiction of a world and a lot of people. And in those days, they wanted to count. They wanted to know, how many people do we have to manage? How many people do we have to tax? "And so Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child." Now that was about a 70-mile journey, as we said before. Now you can make that along the coastline on a highway today and get there in about less than 2 hours. But in that time period, they would have fewer options of travel, and it would take them a while to get there, especially traveling while pregnant. "So while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. But unfortunately, there was no vacancy." Have you ever been driving along? I used to, before I had small children, sometimes I drove all the way from Topeka, Kansas to Baltimore, Maryland one time and never spent a night. I just stopped, drank some coffee, exercised, and got back in the car. I don't do that anymore. But when you're looking for a place to stay and you keep seeing these signs, "No vacancy, no vacancy," it's kind of a bummer, isn't it? It's like, oh man, I got to keep on going. And so I pulled into the little town just to the west of Flagstaff recently, and I about got that same answer. "We might have a room," and they got on the computer, and yes, there was a room. But for Mary and Joseph, not such a nice situation. "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And of course, I think I would have been too. You know, you're out there at night, you're either resting or you're on watch. Somebody's on watch. Somebody's looking, and suddenly an amazing thing takes place, and you could tell it was a supernatural event right away. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And again, much has been said about the humble condition of his birth, the fact that there wasn't room for him. But I think we each need to examine ourselves and make sure that not only in this holiday season, but all year long, every day of the year, that there's room for him in us. Amen? Make sure there's room for him in us, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And we have some of our greatest songs at the holiday season in this, you know, from these verses that we're reading this morning. And it's beautiful to hear those things as we have this morning. Luke chapter 2:15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And again, one might comment on the kind of people that God chose to announce this to. He didn't go into the king's palace. He went out into the field where the shepherds were watching their sheep. And he talked to them. And that's the thing about the gospel. It's for everybody. Everybody of every walk of life. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Now later, when we study about the wise men that came, we understand that they came to a house. It doesn't seem that they came to a manger. So we'll touch on that briefly. We don't have time this morning to do the whole story in the book of Matthew, but we'll touch on a few verses, Lord willing. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. I think of Mary, how from the very beginning, you know, she was surprised to have an angel come and talk to her, surprised at what he had to tell her, but yet fully willing to just get on that roller coaster and ride. Amen? Like, okay, well, we'll see what happens next. And as these things begin to unfold, she's just, amen. She's just amen all the way, you know? Like, okay, wow, I'm going to hold this in my heart. I'm going to hold this in my heart. I'm going to remember this. And then at the end, she understands it all. Years later, on another night, Jesus received a different visitor. In John 3, 1 through 2, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus." Jesus had received visitors from the field of the shepherds on the night that he was born. But now he's a man. He's in his early 30s, and here's another man visiting him at night. Maybe this other man isn't really wanting to be seen with him in the daytime for various reasons, like, for example, many of this man's peers are actually opposed to Jesus. But this guy can see in Jesus truth, reality, something from God that couldn't have come from man. A man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." You know, some teachers just don't understand. This Nicodemus was a teacher of the Israelite people. He was one that was looked up to, one who was respected, one who was trusted, one who was needed. But some teachers just don't want you to know some things, and other teachers just don't know. When I was doing my radio program in Topeka, Kansas, I was talking about, hey, you know, there are some things that your priest doesn't want you to know and that your pastor won't tell you. And I began to tell them the story of the gospel and salvation in Jesus Christ and the necessity of baptism for the forgiveness of sins, that one is buried in baptism because they're dead in sins. It's not something you do after you have already been saved, but something you do in order to be saved. And someone brought a big sheet of plywood to the radio station, and they had my name on it, and they had shell casings on it, and they drew a target on it. And another man waited for me outside our church building, and he was, I went around to the back. I said, "What do you want?" And I could see he was all nerved up, and I realized now that he was thinking about killing me. But we sat down beside the church building, and we talked for some time, and I don't think I ever convinced him on that day, but at least he didn't kill me. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, Jesus is telling him, Nicodemus, there are some things you don't know. Nicodemus, there are some things you don't fully understand. You see the wind go, but you don't really know why. And this is like this, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" He's kind of putting it back on him like, Nicodemus, you know, grow, become, learn. But like those angels at his birth, a heavenly thing doesn't have to make earthly sense. "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life." Now, these are things that I'm supposing Nicodemus was very seriously pondering, trying to understand, what does he mean by this? That as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and I'm sure Nicodemus knew all about that, right? "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life." And so we go to this verse about believing in him and having eternal life, but sometimes this is all we remember. We forget those first six verses. We forget to take that John 3:1-6 and put a hyphen between them, move that six over, and see what John 3:1-6 has to say, because it says you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. And so he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Now we know that there is a time coming when God will send his Son into the world to judge the world, Acts chapter 17, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but that wasn't happening here. That would happen later. "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Maybe we need to begin to look at it this way. Like, yeah, you have to believe, and if you don't even do that, you have nothing. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Many people were looking for enlightenment, and Jesus was in fact the light, is in fact the light, and makes his followers light too. Believing must include doing. Believing must include obeying. In Mark 16, 15 through 16, after Jesus had finished his work at the cross and risen from the dead, and before he ascended to the Father, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Going back then to Luke, remembering all that we've talked about, John 3 and Nicodemus who came to him at night, the angels that came to him at night when he was a baby, and now he's 8 days old. Going back in time. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. I was very thankful that Jorge taught a lesson on this recently, because I knew I was going to approach this also. Had the wise men already visited? Here I am jumping around again. The circumcision was going to take place, and they were going to wait for their 40 days until the purification was done, and then they would come and make an offering at the temple. But here back in Matthew chapter 2:11, it says, "Coming into the house, they," the wise men, "saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And once again, just as Jorge touched on the other day, the chain of events would be that these men had come into a house, not into a barn, and Jesus was not laying in a manger, and he was not a newborn baby, but he had already been circumcised, and I believe he had already had his 40 days of his mother's purification and then given the offering, because look, now they have a lot of money. They have a lot of wealth. And if they had this wealth, when they made that offering at the temple, it would be illegal for them to offer two turtle doves. But let's look at what it says in Leviticus. It says, "But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves." What if she cannot afford? What? Wait a minute. Are you telling me that she can't afford a lamb after these guys gave all these gifts? Wait a minute. Okay. "But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean." So my mother used to have this thing on her little table, and it would be the manger scene with the shepherds and the wise men. And when I told my mother about this, she took the wise men and moved them to the east so that they were on their way, so that I would shut up about it and not bother her about her manger scene. She moved the wise men to the east. In Matthew, again, in chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So we've just got this little glimpse into the story of the wise men that I believe came later. Now going back to this day when Jesus was brought to the temple about 40 days after he was born, in Luke's record, the eighth day, and eighth day? Did I write that wrong? Anyway, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine what that would have meant to someone in those days? They had been waiting and waiting and waiting for the fulfillment of this prophecy that there would be a Messiah, and God has let this guy know, hey, guess what? It's going to happen in your lifetime. Wow. How would it be if God would visit one of us and say, by the way, the Lord is returning in your lifetime? Whoa. It'd be about the same thing, wouldn't it, to us? And so here's this guy that was so blessed by God to know that before he died, he would see the Messiah. And he's waiting. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And his father and his mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, so to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And it brought my mind to the idea of when Jesus was on the cross, and he who had given up his spirit said, it is finished. And they came to break the legs of the men who were on the cross because it was a holy day, and they wanted that done with, and they knew if they broke their legs, they would no longer be able to exhale, and they would asphyxiate. Can I say that right? They couldn't breathe anymore. And they came to Jesus and said, he's already dead? And then they used the spear or the sword, depending on your translation, and poked his side, and water and blood came out, and they knew that he had already been dead. But a sword will pierce even your own soul. And we know that when that took place at the cross, that Mary and John and several other of his close followers were there to witness that event. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. We're back to the temple, back to the Simeon and Anna. Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Wise Joseph listened to what the angel had to say. Didn't reject Mary. Didn't reject the one that he knew he had not been with in that way, but was now pregnant. He listened to what the angel told him to do. And he trusted Mary. And Mary trusted God. And they both obeyed God together. Wise shepherds listened to the angels, heard what the angels had to say and went to see it for themselves. Wise kings brought gifts from far away and fell down on the ground and worshiped Jesus, a little boy. Wise Simeon believed God would keep his promise and waited and saw God's promise in the form of a little boy that he held in his arms and praised God for seeing him. Wise Anna, fully devoted to the Lord, thanked God and told everyone. I don't want to be any different than any of these, amen? I want to see, I want to hear, I want to know for myself, and I want to thank God and tell everyone. Wise people still trust and obey today. Have you made peace with God? His Son is the gift for our salvation. His Son is the gift for your salvation. You need to come to the waters of baptism, admitting you're dead in your sins, recognizing your need to be born again. And once having done that, you need to live that new life in Him and never turn away. Always trust and always obey. We'll offer you that opportunity or whatever you may need this morning as we stand and as we sing.